119 is the invitation song for this evening. Just as I am, it's a time that God has granted unto you. If you need to make anything right, you have that time and that opportunity. I'd like to say it's good to be here tonight. Appreciate the invitation to speak at this gospel meeting. And I pray if there's anyone here that's not right with God before you leave this place, that you would take the opportunity to obey the gospel. If you fell short, that you would come back to the Lord's church. But it's a privilege to be here. And one thing that came to my mind about coming tonight and being here, Jesus on one occasion, speaking about John the Baptist, he said, "What did you go out in the wilderness to see?" Now, they didn't know what to expect about John the Baptist, and that's what Jesus was mentioning to them. And that's sort of like y'all today, or this evening, y'all come out to hear me, you never heard. They just, very few here that have heard me speak. But I'll mention one more thing. That's V.W. Bolin. The older people here probably remember him. He was my father-in-law. And he loved to come to, down this part of the country. He just enjoyed it so much to come and be with everyone down here. But V.W. Bolin, Vernon Bolin, was my father-in-law, and that'll sort of let you know a little bit about me. But tonight, as we going to speak to you, it's going to be about Christianity or religion. And the reason I was going to speak on this, there was an article in the Gadsden Times, and it was about religion and Republican Party. But the part I'm going to bring to attention is just about the religion side. It was written by a Jew, a syndicated writer. It said that she was senior fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center. And she made some observation I think it's appropriate for us that we need to realize that what's taking place around us. She says, "Americans have long resisted the secularizing trend of Western Europe." And what she's talking about is in Europe is people are leaving God. Said Western European countries have taken religion out of their lives. She says in many Western countries, churches stand virtually empty on Sunday and few profess belief in God. That's what's taking place today overseas, is that religion and belief in God is going by the wayside. And I had heard, it's not in this article, that a lot of the churches, when they're shut down, the Muslims coming in, open them up as mosques. But she goes on, she says, in the United Kingdom, Scotland, England, Wales, and Northern Ireland, 37% believe in God. 37%. Now that means 63% are atheists. 63%. That's a lot of people. When you think about 63% of the people in these countries don't believe in God. Now that ought to make us feel bad to think if they don't believe in God, they have no hope of going to heaven and being with God and what they're going to face. But one day, you know, they're going to stand before God and give an answer for the life that they live. But she goes on, she says, in France, 27% believe in God. You know, that's hard to imagine, just 27% of the people. That's almost three-fourths of the people are atheists. In France, three-fourths of the people are atheists. It's just hard to imagine that many people. In Netherlands, she says it's 28% believe in God. In the United States, according to the Gallup poll, 92% believe in God as of 2011. And so here, she talks about the United States. She said 2011, 92% believe in God. Now that don't mean you're a Christian. It's just 92% of people believe in a God. And she says, it's down 4 points from 1944. And so it has declined 4 points, she said, from just from 1944 to 2011. But she mentions after World War II, religious life has steadily declined. Since 2007, the Pew Report says the number of Americans who identify as Christians has dropped by 8 points, from 78% to 70%. And as we'll notice as we go on, it's less and less people that believe in God. She says those born between 1928 and 1945 said 85% of the people that live in the United States claim to be a Christian. They were born in 1928, 1945. You know, that's the age of, you know, my father and my mother. And so when we look at our parents, 85% were Christians. It says the baby boomers, those born between 1946 and 1964, it's just 78% Christian. My mother and daddy was 85. My generation, she says it's down to 78%. But she says Generation X, those born between 1960 and 1980, just 70% Christian in the United States. She said Generation Y, she says it's also known as the millennium. Those born between 1980 and the year 2000, the reason they're called millennium is because of the year 2000. She said it's between 57 to 56%. And now that percentage, 57 to 56%, that's referring to my kids and probably your kids were born between 1960 and 1980. So my parents, it was 85%. My generation, we're down to 78%. Our children's down to 57 to 56%. She goes on, she said, Americans are dropping out of church. They're marrying outside their faith that they were raised in, and they're switching confession at record rates. In 2014, 22.8% of American adults described themselves as unaffiliated with any church. So in 2014, 22.8%, they claim to be Christians, but they're not affiliated with no church. In the Gadsden Times, there's an article about Sylacauga, and it took place in Gunnersville, and here lately in Birmingham, several of the cities is taking place. They're voting to sell alcohol on Sunday. And in an article in Sylacauga newspaper, it said that the population of Sylacauga was less than 13,000 people. It said there's around 86 churches in Sylacauga. And the article said the church had no influence on society. That's a shame. We as Christians cannot influence our cities and our towns and the people around us. But in Sylacauga and all these churches, Gunnersville, they all voted to sell alcohol on Sunday. In January, there was a commercial on TV, and y'all might have saw the commercial, and it was about a movie called Concussion. It's about the NFL football players getting hit in the head and having concussion, and this doctor that done research on it and found out what's taking place as they got older. Well, this movie that was coming out in this commercial, the man told the doctor he was going to fight the NFL. And he made the statement that the NFL is so big and so powerful, he says, they own Sunday. And, you know, when I heard that on TV, I thought, well, why did he put that in there? He wanted to let the Christians know that NFL on Sunday. And what he's saying is, people forsake the church to watch an NFL football game on Sunday. And that's what's taking place around us people are falling away. And overseas, you know, it's just a terrible thing about so many of those people in that country, they're atheists. And the thing about it, where did Christianity start? It started overseas. And so when you think about where Christianity started, you know, and you read like 75% of people are atheists, they don't even believe in God, you think, you know, they started, they didn't believe in God, and they come to God. No, they started knowing God, and they fell away from God. And that's what's bad. And so, as we look at this, each generation is declining. And that tells me that the church has fell short in each generation. The church has messed up. They fell short in doing the things that they ought to do to try to keep stop this from happening. But, you know, we know Jesus tells us, many are called, but few are chosen. And that's the sad part about it. There's just going to be a few chosen. And that the majority of the people is going to go to hell and be punished. And in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 14, it says, "For the body is not one member, but many." Speaking about the church, the body says it's not one member, it's many. It ain't one member in this church that's supposed to influence this community. It's everyone in this church. We're all the church. We're all the body. And we're supposed to be living in such a life that we're supposed to be able to influence people. You know, Matthew the 5th chapter and verse 13 and 14, you know, Jesus said, "You're the salt of the earth." Salt of the earth. That's what we are. We're supposed to be living in such a way we're supposed to be able to influence people. But we're not living the way we're supposed to be, so we're not influencing people. And he said, "You're the light of the world." We're supposed to be spreading the light, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're not doing it. And so we see that each generation, they're falling short. You know, Paul told Timothy, 1 Timothy 4 and 12, "Be an example of the believer." Ask yourself, am I an example to those people around me? Am I living in such a way that I'm influencing them and want them to desire to be like me, to follow Jesus? In the book of Judges, we have an example of this in the second chapter. Beginning with verse 7 in the book of Joshua, it said, "And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old." And in verse 10, "And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers." And so here it talks about during the days of Joshua, the children of Israel, they obeyed God. Then said the elders that lived during the days of Joshua. In the 10th verse, it said when they would gather their fathers, note what it says, "And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam." Now here, reading about Joshua, that during Joshua's time, they served God. But the very next generation fell away from God. And to me, that tells me Joshua and them were religious, but somewhere or another, they did not teach their children the importance of serving God. And so it just took one generation for them to fall away. The whole children of Israel fell away. Just one generation. For not doing what they are to do. And that's a that's a shame to realize that, and it's taking place today. In Romans 8 and verse 6, it says, "For to be carnally minded is death." Carnally minded is death. He said, you're not spiritual if you're carnally minded. You're worldly. But to be spiritually minded, he said, is life and peace. Somebody's spiritual minded, he's religious. He's doing the things that God would have him to do. But the carnally minded, he's not spiritual. You know, in John 6 and 45, Jesus tells us they should be all taught of God. Are we teaching God's Word? Are we teaching God's word? In Matthew 28:19, it says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Are we doing that? We can see overseas, it hadn't worked. They weren't doing it. And over here in the United States, it's falling by the wayside. And in 1 Timothy 2:4, it says, "God will have all men to be saved and come to knowledge of truth." God wants everybody saved. And yet, as we look at what's taking place in this country that we're living in, that they're all not going to be saved. That there's going to be more lost than saved. And as I think about this, you know, what can we do about it? You know, what's going on? You know, the biggest problems of the church and people falling out of the church is the head of the household is not teaching their children at home, not teaching their family. And that's one of the reasons the church is getting smaller and smaller. It's because the parents is not teaching their children. And so as the children get grown, just as the days of Joshua, they're fall away. They're led away. And if we can't, you know, teach our children and get them to obey the gospel, how are we going to teach anybody else? If we can't even teach our own family and our own kids their obligation to God and to love God and to realize how much Jesus loved them that He died on Calvary's cross, if we can't teach them to obey the gospel, how are we going to teach anybody else? How are we going to teach anybody else? You know, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, we have an example that we can look back over. In the Old Testament, you know, we don't live under the Old Testament, but it's written for us, for an example to us, that we can look at and see things that they've done that we should do, see things that they've messed up, that we don't not to fall in their same situation. Deuteronomy chapter 6, notice verse 4. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." You know, here we find that God told the children of Israel, you teach your children. All during the day, He said, you teach your children about Him and keeping these commandments. And yet, when you read the Old Testament, you'll find time and time again the children of Israel fell by the wayside. And the reason was they did not teach their children. They wouldn't have mindful of the blessings that God had given them. And when they went into the promised land, you know, God told them three different times, when you go into the promised land, He said, don't forget me. When you see the houses that you didn't build, the vineyards you didn't plant, He said, don't forget me. They went in there, they forgot God. They had forgot God. And yet, as we look around, man today is still forgetting God. In Proverbs 22 and verse 6, Solomon says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's good advice for us. Train our children up while they're young. And he said, if we train them up, they will not depart. Ephesians 6 and 4, Paul says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Are we doing that? Are we doing that? How can a country that's just 37% Christian and 70% atheist, what has happened? They weren't teaching their children. They fell away. And in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, now most of us can quote it. Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, there's so many of us that's in the church, been in church all over most of our lives. We're not studying. We can't rightly divide the word of truth. We can't give an answer to every man of the reason the hope that's within us. And that's a shame to think, you know, I've been a Christian 20 years. Somebody comes to me and wants to talk about the Bible. I can't even talk about it. I can't even show them the plan of salvation. There's something wrong. We're too worldly. You know, Peter said, give an answer to every man. How are you going to give an answer without studying? We got to get back to studying God's Word. We got to get back to studying God's Word. You know, James said, to him that knoweth to do good and do it not, he said to him it is sin. You know, we know what we're to do. We know we're to read and study. We know we're to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. But we're not doing it. We're forsaking reading God's Word. And why is that? There's too much going on around us. You got to take kids to the ball games. You got to watch TV. You got to watch football. We're letting all the things of this world, you know, keep us from doing the things that God would have us to do, that we can go to heaven and be saved, and not only us, our children can go. But in that article, every generation was falling short, almost 20% every generation. And then we look at overseas, and it's happening here. Our government has took religion out of the government, out of our schools, out of public life. We get in trouble if we pray in public. And one thing we got to realize about the things that we face in this life, you know, if you're a member of the Lord's church, you're going to suffer persecution. And you're going to have people to say, you go to Church of Christ, don't you? You say, yeah. And then they start getting on to you because you believe once saved, always saved. They say, you're the only one going to heaven. Now, realizing, you know, we don't believe in once saved, always saved. We're not the only one going to heaven. It's those that obey the gospel and baptize. And they don't believe in baptism. And we take offense at it. A lot of times we don't want to say nothing. When Christ walked on this earth, He suffered persecution. When He tried to teach us what God would have them do, what happened? They persecuted Him. Then what happened to the apostles? They all died, was all murdered and killed, except the apostle John. They suffered persecution. And if we stand for the truth, we're going to suffer persecution. But if we don't teach it, who's going to teach it? Who's going to teach it? In 2 Timothy 2 and 4, Paul told Timothy, no man that warreth entangling himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. You know, as a Christian, we're a soldier. We're a soldier for Christ. And he tells us, don't entangle ourselves in the affairs of this life. Let's be mindful as being a Christian that the life that God has chosen me to do, that I'm to love Him, I'm to worship Him, I'm to serve Him, I'm to read, I'm to study His Word, I'm to grow in the grace and knowledge of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, in Matthew, the 25th chapter, when you read the story about the 10 virgins, you know, it said there was 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. And it said when the cry was made that the bridegroom was coming, it said the 5 was foolish, they went in. The 5 was wise, said they didn't have enough oil, and they had to go out and buy. When the door was shut, they came and asked to go in. He said, I know you not. Depart from me. Depart from me. Know you not. Why didn't the 5 that was foolish, why wasn't they prepared? If they wasn't prepared, they were too busy doing something else besides what they should have been doing. And that's one of the reasons we're not prepared to talk to people about God's Word, because we're too busy doing something else than reading and studying. And we've got to realize, each one of us, God expects each one of us to read and study His Word. And it's a blessing to read it, and we need to realize that we've been blessed with the Bible. And the people of old, they didn't have what we have today. God's Word in written form. That we can read it, we can study it, and we can grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 24 and in verse 38, He said, "For in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And he knew not until the flood came and took them all away." He said, "So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." During the days of Noah, in the beginning, Adam and Eve, we find Satan tempted them. They sinned and fell away from God. Then in the days of Noah, we find the Bible tells us that every imagination of man's heart was evil continually. And when God looked down and saw man, they all fell away. Except 8 souls. All of them. They all should have known God. But they had all fell away. 8 souls were saved. And the thing about, here it says eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. So they're going about their everyday life, but they left God out. But it says they knew not until the flood came. Well, why didn't they know? The Bible tells us Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And we find out that he worked 120 years on the ark until the flood came. So for 120 years we got Noah preaching to the people. But what happened? They did not listen. They didn't care. And so they perished. And today we find it, so many of us, we take for granted what God has given us of the Bible. And we don't read it and don't study it. And then the sad part is, if I live and serve God and I don't take my children, when I die, what's going to happen to my children? If I make it, am I going to make it? If I didn't teach my children and they don't make it, you reckon I'm going to go? If I didn't do what I should have done and teach my children? And that's what's so terrible is to think, one generation can fall. And after that one generation, all of my descendants may fall. Because of what I did not do, I didn't read and study, I didn't live a life in such a way that I could be an influence to those around me. But yet the article and paper said the church has no influence on society. And so that's where we've come today in this world in which we live, that God has given us and He's given us the Bible and He tells us what we should do, that we don't have an influence on those people around us. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning with verse 12, Paul says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." Paul says, we're supposed to be an example in all these things to those around us. Paul said, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." Here he mentions again about us reading. Then exhortation, that means we're supposed to be encouraging one another to live the Christian life, to read and to study, and to doctrines. That means teaching. The 15th verse says, "Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profit may appear to all." Has Satan influenced you with so much stuff in this world that you're not taking the time to meditate on God's Word and give yourself to them? He says, "Take heed unto yourself, unto the doctrine." So he's telling us we've got to watch out about the things that confront us in this life, or it will cause us to fall away. Take heed. That's a warning unto us. "And unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shall both save thyself and them that hear thee." So here we find he tells us that if we'll do these things, we'll save ourselves, we'll save our children, we'll save those that hear us. And so this is one of the things that we can do to try to change what's taking place in this country. It's what Paul told Timothy. We need to read, we need to study, we need to give ourselves unto God's Word, that not only can we save ourselves, but those that hear us. It's hard to comprehend, the love that God has for us. And when I think about the love that God has for me, that He was willing to let His Son come in this world to live and to die on Calvary's cross and to suffer like he did for me. For me. God let his son die for me. He let his son die for you. Each one of the individual, Christ died for you to save you, that you could go to heaven and be with them. And just to think about it, you need to read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, and read the accounts of the Gospels of Jesus' life, and read about his crucifixion, about his death. And when you see Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prays to the Father three times. He says, "Father, let this cup pass from me." Jesus was in the flesh. He didn't want to die. And so he asked God, "Let this cup pass from me." He's talking about crucifixion. He knew what was before him. And he asked this cup, "Let it pass from him." But Jesus said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." He knew that that's what God required of him. And he asked God to remove it. God didn't. And so Jesus, the Bible tells us, and Jesus tells us, "I give it of my own." God didn't force him to go to Calvary's cross. That was his decision. It's our decision today about obeying the gospel. And we need to realize that. But as we look around at the European countries, they've taken religion out of their life. Have you took it out of your life? Have you took it out of your life? Are you an example? And we read about the big percentage of the people in Europe are atheists. They're without God, without hope in the world. How do you stand tonight? Do you have God? Have you obeyed the gospel? If you haven't, why not? You know, that's the beauty of the gospel. When you come in this door, if you're not a child of God, a Christian, and you're without God, you don't have to leave without being a child of God. And just to think, when you obey the gospel, if you never have, be buried in that water grave of baptism, and to be raised up to walk in the newness of life, and to think that your sins have been forgiven, all the, your trespasses, and everything you've ever done, God says, "I forgive you. I remember it no more," when you come to His Son. And that's a beautiful thing. Out in Europe, they're without God. How are you today? Are you without God? Don't be without God. God's no respecter of person. And if you're not right with God, we're not promised tomorrow. We don't know when we're going to die. If we die today without God, you're not going to heaven. And you may think when you accept, when, "Boy, I wish I had him." It's going to be too late. And so tonight, if you haven't obeyed the gospel, we're giving you that opportunity. God has blessed you to be here tonight, giving you the opportunity to obey the gospel. The Bible says God will have all men be saved. God loves you. He wants you saved. When he spoke to the children of Israel in Ezekiel, we find that he said, "Why will you die, O house of Israel? Why will you die?" And tonight, if you're not right with God, why would you die without God? You don't have to. God loves you. And we find if you fell away from him, if Satan has tempted you and caused you to slip away with all the things that we enjoy in this life, TV, sports, and entertainment, and you just gradually slip away, you can be like the prodigal son. You come to your senses, and you return back to the Father, and the Father forgives you. Now, one of the things about the prodigal son, when the son decides to come back, the father's watching him, waiting for him to come back, and he sees him a-coming. You know, that's the only place in the Bible that you're going to read where there's an example of the father. That's who God represents, that father and that prodigal son. That God's a-running after his son. God loves you. He wants you saved. And if we fall away, we can come to you can come and confess your faults one to another, pray one for another, be forgiven. And so tonight, as we stand and we sing number 119, if you're not right with God, don't be like those people in Europe. Don't be without God. Don't turn into an atheist. Obey the gospel.